Hi, I'm Beverly Simpson.
And I'm Nikki Wilson.
And welcome to the Action Made Mamas podcast. Here we inspire women to take massive action in pursuing their dreams,
cultivating deep relationships,
building loving communities,
raising amazing humans, and most of all, becoming their best self.
Welcome back to the Action Made Mamas podcast. Nikki and I are so excited to be here today, and we are going to be diving deep into one of the big questions that people continuously ask us, which is, how do we stand out in a crowded online space? So we're going to give you five of our tested and tried ways that we have used to build our brand online. Now, this came about because Nikki and I were currently in our own home states, which is kind of boo, but we just spent a good 4 days in Boston where we got to mastermind with some of our colleagues, but also we got a chance to present in our perspective. We got a chance to present on tools that we both have mastered.
Yeah, totally.
So and these were some of the questions that came up.
We were in a room full of 100 people or more, and everybody's wanting to know these answers. You know, everybody's wanting to know, if I have my own online business or I'm wanting to go that route, you know, I feel like everything's super saturated and everybody's saying the same things.
Right.
And I totally get that. I think we've all been fearful of that, those of us who do have online businesses. But there are ways, and we're going to go through these, but to make your brand and your story your own, even if it's the same message essentially to somebody else's, you know, that's the beauty of it. I mean, Beverly and I'd say we have similar people, not totally the same because she works with new moms and postpartum health, but you know, I used to do that. And I think my messaging is totally different than Beverly's, even though we're in the same kind of space.
Right. I mean, something that, you know, I would say to people who are just starting out is to, you know, we're going to dig into this when we get into our five ways, but, you know, we operate from one of two positions. We are either operating from a place of fear or we're operating from a place of love, right? And the faster that you can get past the fear, and we're going to talk about all different ways that fear shows up in our online business, and operate from a place of love, the faster you're going to get into a place of abundance. There's room at the table for anybody, for everybody, because the truth of the matter is that nothing you're talking about hasn't been talked about already by somebody else. But the way that I deliver the message is going to be different than the way Nikki delivers the message, or your friend delivers the message, or your coach or mentor or whoever it is. You can literally say the exact same thing and somebody else is going to perceive it differently than the other person.
Yeah. And I think that's the beauty of online space too. Like, while it can be scary and feel like, oh God, everybody, but like the beauty of it is that like 20 people could be saying the same thing, but you kind of get to pick the person that you resonate with the most.
Yes.
And that's the beautiful part about it. And that's why, you guys, it's so important to be unique and have your own voice and not be like mimicking a bunch of people.
Yes. And by unique is just, you know, I would say unique to you, right? So doubling down on you, on who you are, is going to give you that edge.
Totally. And I actually see it flop in a lot of ways when people are trying to copycat somebody else, you know, because people can read through that.
Yes.
People can see the authenticity and or the lack of authenticity. And so, you know, it ends up hurting you in the end.
And people can't explain why. They just have this feeling. They just know it doesn't feel right. They can't necessarily explain it, but they can feel it.
Totally. Totally. All right. Well, do you want to dive in, Beth?
Yeah, sure. Okay. So I guess that, you know, that leads, that's a great lead into, you know, the number one thing I would say to someone, if you're trying to stand out in a crowd, is to put your blinders on. And I know that this, and actually I'll take it one step further, is put your blinders on and get obsessed with yourself. And what I mean when I say that is that, you know, especially now, and especially when you are trying to get into the online space, you know that you need to post online and you know that you need to be online. But what happens is that we end up scrolling, and I'm saying we because this was me too. This was when I first started. You end up scrolling, you end up following all the people that you love, you end up, you want to support your friends, you want to see what other people are doing because you want to do some market research, you want to see what is, what's working, right? And there is some merit to that. I'm not saying that there's no merit to that, as long as it's not at the cost of your confidence. And if you start feeling like, I'm not as good as so-and-so, I'm not as good as so-and-so, then you have to put your blinders on and just get and double down on your solutions, because people don't hire, they don't hire, if you're a coach or you're selling a product, they don't necessarily hire the benefits and the features. They hire the person.
Yeah.
Right. So you have to figure out, the faster that you can solve your clients' problems with your solution, the faster you're going to be successful. Yeah. And that is going to require putting on your blinders. That might require unfollowing your friends, and it's not personal. And you can have a conversation with them too if you need to, but it's not personal. You just know that you're getting clouded and you're getting, your confidence starts to falter. So you need to just double down on you and spend time figuring out what your ways are and find solace and confidence in the fact that nothing new needs to be said or done or created. Yeah. Your perspective, the way you communicate it, is going to be the unique part.
Yeah, unless you're an inventor and
right.
You need to patent on something new. Like, most of the stuff has been said. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like,
in
the fitness field, it's like, okay, these are the things that are generally spoken about over and over. You know, yes. Whatever space you're in. So
I'm not necessarily saying, because I don't want to shut down invention, because I get, because nothing came, newness is part of it, right? I get it. But what I'm saying is that if you're waiting for that new thought or that new reinvention of the wheel, then you're in a holding pattern. That's not to say that the new thing might not come and it might not come from you. I'm not necessarily saying that. I'm just saying that if you are stuck, if you are feeling stuck and that you're feeling like you cannot create or provide a viable business, then I would challenge you to at least bring your take to something that's already been said.
I was just kidding about the invention. I mean, I think a lot of it for services, it's just like feeling like you can't penetrate the market.
Yes.
And you absolutely can. It just, it's all about the messaging, all about how you're bringing your own self and your own story into what you're trying to provide for your customer or your client. So I totally get that. Going back to like unfollowing people, one of the things I teach in my Fit and Free course for women who are struggling with body image is to unfollow people who bring that feeling that rises up in you of envy or jealousy or lacking. And I just tell people simply, like, unfollow those people. You have no reason to have to follow them. You're not, your arm isn't being, you know, twisted to do so. And it's really your prerogative to do that. And I think the same thing goes for online business and services and any kind of business, even if you have a brick and mortar. Like,
yes,
unfollow. You don't have to see what so-and-so is doing all the time and have to feel like you're measuring up to what they're doing. That only prevents you from doing your own thing.
Agreed.
No. Okay. Can we talk about number two? Mm-hmm. This one's huge. This one's really huge. Okay. It's quit worrying about what other people think. Because you guys, this is seriously 100% the biggest roadblock to all the business people I work with and coach. The fear that you're self-promoting and what other people are going to think of you. And Beverly, what do you tell people when people are like worried about the judgment factor?
Ooh, you know, it's, I have coached dozens of trainers and they are always afraid of one or two things. And this is true in my, you know, for me too, is that their fear of being judged and fear of being rejected. And when people come to me and talk to me, especially about the judgment, especially when they're putting themselves out there, you know, they're worried about being right, their fear of being judged. Someone said something very profound to me recently, and they said that we are being judged all the time. 100% of the time, not only are we being judged, but we are also judging. And that is not, I'm not saying, you know, that you're judging negatively, but we are always taking in information about a person, about something, and we are making an evaluation about the situation, the product, the whatever it is, right? No matter what it is. And that's not necessarily even being judged good or being judged bad. But the faster that you can accept that judgment is 100% part of the process, so why not just be who you are and do what you love if you're going to be judged anyway?
Why? I mean, I think, first of all, of course, my initial response, but I've been doing this for a little while. I totally get it. I felt that way too.
Yes.
But my initial response is, who cares?
Yes.
No one even cares. Actually, a psychological principle. And I, of course, cannot remember what it is now, but it's like, I forget what it's called. Some of y'all can chime in if you know later. You can just shoot me an email. But it's like, you think everybody's thinking about you, but they're not.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All eyes are on you and what you're doing, but they're actually.
Nobody's paying attention to you, especially at the beginning, which is a gift, actually. It's the best time because now you can just mess around and figure out what works and figure out what doesn't work, what resonates, what feels true, what rings true to you, because nobody's paying attention.
Probably potential clients are paying attention because they like what you're saying, but like your friends or your family, maybe you're just like, I don't know, in the past they've thought this or that about me. Like, honestly, first of all, and secondly, like I call this vain imagination.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you're creating in your mind that somebody is thinking something about you, have they told you that they're thinking that about you? Mm-hmm. You're probably just imagining what they would be thinking about you from whatever biases and insecurities that you're having about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And there might actually be some people who confront you. Like, I've never had this happen before, ever, not once. But I know some people have.
It's happened to me.
It's happened to Beverly. It's never happened to me where somebody's like, you're just always talking about yourself. What's up with that? Now, I've had some people, like, ask me what I'm doing. And they're like, I see you on. You're kind of everywhere. I don't get it. And I'm like, well, this is what I do. I help women become free from food and body obsession. And I coach online women with online businesses, and they're like, I don't really get that, but okay. And it's like, okay, we just move on from there. You don't get it. That's cool. What has your experience been, Jeff?
So my experience, certainly, it was not the best feeling in the world. It was actually, in truth, it was something that was very painful. I had a close friend basically said that your content was intrusive, and that's fine. I realized that it doesn't matter. You know, the faster that you can repel people that are not going to be your customers or be your number one supporters, the faster you're going to bring in the people that are. Yeah. So making room for the people that are going to be your customers, the people that are going to be your clients, and the people that are going to be your number one supporters, those are the people that you want to bring into you. And to remember that this stuff and that those experiences that happen, you know, to me, and I look back on it now and I'm grateful that it happened, because now I'm on the other side and it doesn't matter and who cares. And now I don't have to fear it because I've lived out the worst case scenario.
Right.
That's, you know, you had a close friend that basically said, you know, no. And that's, I lived. It was painful in the moment, but I got through it. And now it's over.
Yeah. And you guys, also, I think there's just an element of everybody is welcome to have their own opinion.
Exactly. It's not personal.
And I think sometimes you have to check yourself. You have to check yourself if you're judging somebody. You just kind of be like, why am I judging her? Like, I have to do that sometimes. And then I'm like, okay, like, this is more about me than it is her.
Right.
So everybody's entitled to and will have opinions about you and what you do.
Exactly, because everybody's judging all the time. So, it's okay. Yeah, like,
you just can't really get around that. And I would also just on, like, piggyback a little bit, one step further to say, like, what other thing that I coach women through when they're working through this is your best friends and your family aren't your clients necessarily.
Exactly.
I mean, I might have a couple of friends who are like, yeah, I need your services big time. Most of my friends don't. So when I'm marketing and I'm doing the promoting and self-promoting or whatever, I'm talking to a totally different audience than my family and friends. It's not for them. What I do is not necessarily for them. And they don't have to get it. And I just respect that too, that they don't have to. That's okay.
They don't have to. Exactly. And that, you know, the other thing too, I want to say is that, and it took me an experience to actually, you know, get to this, but to remember that the actions of others in that regard, sometimes it's not personal and it's not about you, even though it might feel like it is. Yeah.
Totally. It's a lot of times, most of the time, most yes. it's about them.
Yes.
Not you.
And spending time and energy worrying about it is only going to keep you stuck.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. It's only going to keep you stuck.
You can't be everyone's cup of tea.
Mm-mm. And that's okay.
I like that now. I used to be like, oh God, I'm trying to train everybody. I'm trying to reach it all. Like, I'll do whatever. But like, now I kind of like it when somebody's not against me, but I kind of like it when they're like, oh, I disagree. I really love counting macros and weighing my food. And
yes,
I love diets. And that's the only way I can feel free is to like have a bunch of rules and restrictions. And I'm not making fun of people like that. I'm like, yeah, cool. Awesome.
Right.
Like, you go do that. And I'm over here if you need me one day. And we can also agree to disagree and still be cool.
Yes. So many people have different opinions.
I held up on that.
Like, yes,
you love diets and you love prescribing people diets. That's cool. I really like, great. That's your business. And this is mine.
And, yes. cool. And it's not personal.
It's not personal.
Yeah. Not personal.
Yeah. Anyway. So I hope that makes sense, you guys. I think that's always a huge struggle when I work with people who want to start something, but they're afraid to self-promote.
Worried of being judged. Worried of being judged by their colleagues. Worried about judged being by their friends and family. And sometimes even their clients. But everyone's judging.
Yep. Everyone's judging.
All the time. And it's not a bad thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's not always.
Let's talk about the third thing. Is to marry your story.
Yes. So, you know, how do you stand out? This is the third way. How do you stand out in a crowded market space? And we talked a little bit about how your unique take on something, on an experience or whatever, is going to help you stand out. So this is kind of goes hand in hand with that, is that your own unique story, right, is what is going to set you apart. And so what do I mean by story? So one of the things when you are purchasing something from someone or you are wanting to be a seller, you want to position yourself as an authority, as an expert in whatever it is that you're selling. And sometimes people panic here. Oh, I'm not the smartest. I don't know everything. I don't have all the certifications. I don't have, as someone else can say it better than me. Someone else can knows more than me. I didn't have a huge transformation, but my clients did, or I don't have any clients, but I have had a huge transformation. Whatever is happening to you and to your story and to what brought you here is going to help position you as an authority in what you're selling.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Like, there's different kinds of authorities too. Like, yes. When I think about Beverly as an authority, I mean, and probably most of you, if you follow her stuff, which you should, if you don't, very knowledgeable. Like, I look at Beverly as she's the expert on all things postpartum and, like, mostly business stuff, because I always ask Beverly. She's a problem solver. Therefore, she loves to gain knowledge and information. And I view her as, like, an expert on things because she's very knowledgeable. For me, I think my role with people is more of, like, their cheerleader. Like, I have this ability to, like, cheer people on in what they're doing. I'm not necessarily like, oh, I have all these facts and, you know, like, knowledge, and, like, I'm always researching and researching. That's not really my personality. My personality is more like, hey, this is what I'm doing, this is what I've done, and now I want to cheer you on and push you into the success that you want to have. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're two very different. Again, this goes back to, like, keeping your blinders on. And, like, I think we both kind of personify that in different ways, putting ourselves as the expert, but we look very different.
Mm-hmm. And we experience life very differently. So we're both moms, right? So we both have had children, and we've both gone through pregnancy. We've both given birth. We've both parented. And we've both started online businesses. We've both been personal trainers, but our experiences have been completely different. And what brought us here is different. And that is what makes us unique. You know, one of the things I used to tell my trainers all the time, because when I was a fitness manager in Manhattan, was that my clients aren't going to be your clients. They're not going to resonate necessarily with you, even if we're saying the exact same thing. My story, my experience, the way that I coach people in building their business, way that I coach people into achieving their fitness goals is going to be different, completely different, because I am uniquely me.
Yeah.
So when you can say that to yourself and really get comfortable with that, you will start to set yourself apart.
Yeah, totally. And I think especially if those of you listening, if you're in, like, a multi-level marketing business and you feel like, oh my gosh, so many of the people are saying the same thing, that's when your story really needs to come into play.
Mm-hmm.
Is how, even though everybody is selling the same product, how has the product affected you? What is your unique take on what it's done for you? And I think that is what, instead of just popping it up every once again, when, like, here's this thing that I sell, if you want it, cool. So,
like, yeah.
That doesn't really resonate with anybody. And also not maybe saying the same prescriptive things that one might start out thinking. It's how has it changed you? How has it affected you? What were the outcomes?
Mm-hmm.
What would happen if you weren't using that product? What is your story around that product? And that's when you start to see the dial move.
Yes. So when it comes to selling, right? So, and we can definitely do a different podcast on this, but when it comes to selling, we've all heard that people buy on emotion, right? And we have all heard that, I can't remember what the exact statistic is, but I think it's like 95% of us buy from our subconscious. Right? And the way that we move that, the way that we move imagination is with story. So when we are saying story and your story, it doesn't necessarily mean like you personally. It could be your story about the product or about the service, right? Just 9 times out of 10, we are talking to people or serving people that are us or like us 5 years ago. So that's why our story matters. But if your ideal client is nothing like you, but you have worked with people like that, you can use a client story. Just the reason why story is important, it's your take on that experience, and talking about it in a story form is what is going to move people emotionally. People don't buy on facts, figures, features, and benefits.
Yeah.
They're important. They matter. I'm not saying don't talk about it. But that's not usually the reason why people buy. Because if people were going to buy on facts, features, and benefits, then Google would just rule the world and no one would have a business. Only Google would.
Yeah. Good one, girl. That's real good. It might take over though. I don't know. That. And let's piggyback number four to number three, where number three was marry your story to your service. And number four is listen to your clients' chatter.
Yes.
Listen to what they're saying. I think that's so important. And I think a lot of people miss the mark on that, you guys. This is where you really start to capitalize on things, is what are they saying? Mm-hmm. What do they want?
And when we say, you know, what are your clients saying, I mean, literally, what is the exact language pattern that the client is saying in their chatter, in their brain? And if you can, repeating their pain point, repeating their chatter to them, acknowledges that to them that you are actually listening, and it automatically puts the assumption into their brain that you are an authority and an expert on that pain point because you have acknowledged that you have heard them.
Yeah.
Right? And so when you can do that and you can build that instant type of rapport and automatically put yourself in that authoritative position, in that expert position, you'll be able to move them into solving their problem with your product, whatever it is, whether you're MLM, whether you're doing a service, whatever it is, you'll be able to move them if you can speak to them in their chatter, in their mind.
So for me, like when I was training people and the stuff that was coming up a lot was, I feel like I'm doing all the right things, but as soon as I stop doing one thing, I gain a ton of weight back. Or, you know, I just feel like I'm not sleeping. I don't feel healthy, you know? And so I started to just see a pattern of like, okay, so what you're telling me is, you're doing all these prescriptive diets and it's not really helping because the minute you get off, you're right back to where you started, you know? And that's when I started seeing like, oh, the pattern for me is like my clients are sick of diets. They're sick of diets. They're sick of obsessively working out to no avail. And that's when I started kind of changing my gears. Like the system is broken for me. Mm-hmm. And the people that are attracted to me. And so what I'm hearing is like, I need to figure out this system of like health at every size and anti-diet and like messaging it as my own.
Right. For sure.
Making it accessible to people in an understandable way.
You know, for me in my business is that I got so caught up in the love your body, health in every size, and find confidence in who you are today, that I realized I started to isolate my clients, and my clients were saying things to me like, I don't want to tell you this. I know you're not going to like this. And it made me realize that I was actually alienating the people I want to serve, which is that I want to help the moms lose weight without body hate. Right. And that is so scary to me when I, you know, when I go and, but that took time, by the way, for me to figure that out, because you want to dance that line of making sure that you are not promoting the sense that shrinking is better. Right. But that you want people to know that body autonomy is 100% okay. And that to want to lose weight is okay. And I would rather you learn how to lose weight from me than go on to, you know, our favorite Pinterest friend and find some like, do these five ab workouts and lose your mommy tummy.
Arm workouts that.
Oh, and you know, I would rather you learn how to do it from me in a way that makes, that helps you honor your body than not.
And I think that's just the beautiful thing of it. I mean, this all kind of ties together, but like, so Beverly's clientele and who she's attracting looks different than the people that are attracted to me, even though we're kind of in a very similar space. Mm-hmm. There is so much room for both of us because our clients are telling us two different things. And that's the beauty of it.
And honestly, these tips, as we're reviewing them, these are things I wish that I had known and really accepted when I first started. Because the faster that you can get in on these and really just let go of the judgment and fear, and by the way, that doesn't mean ignore it. right? You need to acknowledge it and then dismiss it, right? Acknowledge that you feel that way and then move your attention to something else. That is what's going to help you get better results in your business faster.
Yes. Yes. Love that. All right, let's go to the last point, Bev.
And this was something that I heard in Boston. Our mentor, Jill, said this in her presentation, but she was talking about the 1% action. And so I would say the fifth tool is consistent 1% action. Now, what does that mean? So now, assuming that you are listening to number one, which is, you know, putting your blinders on and getting obsessed with yourself and stop comparing yourself to other people, is that you just remain consistent in your posting and consistent in going to live events, in hiring a coach, a mentor, getting in a mastermind, doing the things that you may or may not think that everyone else is doing, and you think, oh, everyone's doing this, everyone's posting every day. The truth of the matter is that they're not. And that by you staying consistent, you are taking the 1% action.
And now, this is going to feel so radio silent, you guys. Like, it'll feel like nobody's listening. Nobody's commenting, nobody's buying, nobody's following me or whatever. Like, there's going to be a stretch of time where you really feel like that. But you have to be consistent. You have to keep going. I mean, most people go for a few months strong and then they quit. So, you know, the market is competitive, but it's also super easy to quit it and feel like you can just disappear behind the behind the rock, you know, like, oh, I'm just gonna go now, bye everybody.
So I work mostly with fitness trainers, and so the way that I equate this to business owners is actually very similar to the people that are working with their clients that are, you know, just starting out, right? So think about what your client says to you when they're working on fat loss, when they're working on muscle gain, or they're working on whatever it is, and they're first starting out. When they first start, it feels like their whole life has changed in terms of their time investment, in terms of the mental energy investment. But real, and as a coach, it's our job to manage the expectations and remind people that the front end is going to feel way more of an investment, but what you're actually doing is laying the foundation to stay consistent and to actually change the neural pathways in our brain to change the habits and then make those habits on, put them on automation. The same is true for your business, right? And so at first it may feel like, I know it did for me, it felt life altering in the sense that you're doing this thing every day and that, you know, tomorrow you're going to wake up and you're going to have 1 million people liked your photo. And then you're like, oh, but what is so-and-so going to say? And then you look at your Instagram profile and you realize that, you know, only 50 people, you only have 50 friends or 50 followers. Yes. Right? But that's okay. That's okay. Who wrote the book Seven Habits? Stephen Covey, right? He says, start with the end in mind. Yeah. Same is true in fat loss, in same is true in muscle gain. Whatever goal you're working on is you do the action as if your business was already viable or your goal was already viable or you were already there. That's going to lay down the foundation and get you there faster. But if you try it on for a week, it's like your client coming on to you and saying, oh, I ate well for a week. How come I haven't lost 30 pounds?
It sucked and it was hard. It's really hard, isn't it?
Right? And so that's the 1% action.
Yeah.
It is not for the week.
It is definitely something that you have to get thicker skin. Mm-hmm. You have to be okay with getting rejected. Mm-hmm. You have to understand that, like, there are disappointing, you know, you might have a number in mind and that's, it disappoints you. You do have to develop this thick skin, but you guys, you can't do it if you're just trying to, like, kind of halfway it, or you go through and decide it was too hard, so you quit and then you kind of pick it back up 3 months later, and then you kind of dabble in it a little bit. Like, you really got to be consistent. And I love when Beverly said, like, the end, you have to start with the end in mind. And I know that sounds overdone and cliche, but it really is true. Like, where do you see it years from now? And it's really like just a kind of a reverse engineer. But, you know, it's a process.
And it might take time getting clarity around your vision and then figuring out, you know, where to go from there. And that's fine to be there. But I would say that if you are honestly sitting here asking yourself, how do I stand out? Then you know what you want. You have clarity and you have a vision. Mm-hmm. Just do it.
Yeah.
And that you will learn from every outcome. Right? You will learn from every outcome that happens, whether or not you decide it's a failure or you call it a failure or not, right? We will still learn from every outcome.
Totally. Totally. That's such a good word, girl. Such a good word. And I just love it because I think, you know, online business, one thing that I really love about it is that you can change it however you want to change it. And that's beauty. Like, you know, if you do a brick and mortar, which I mean, my husband and I own lots of brick and mortars, but it's like, if you make one wrong move in certain areas, you're kind of stuck with it. Like, otherwise it's a thousands and thousands of dollar kind of mistake. Whereas like you could try to launch something or think that this product is going to be super great and have a lot of success and it doesn't, then the cost is very low to go back and be like, okay, let's back to the drawing board. Mm-hmm. Back to what my clients and my customers are actually telling me that they want. Mm-hmm. And you can change it. You can pivot, you can change, you can shift. And most of the time, I'm not saying, I know products are very expensive sometimes, but like most of the time you can just kind of shift around and play with different things. That's why I love online business.
Yes.
You know, that's why I love what I do. And I didn't want to open a gym because I didn't want to be tied to something. Mm-hmm. Long-term that maybe didn't work out or maybe I didn't execute perfectly, but now I'm like, oh, I can just pivot and change and like do different things to meet my clients' needs.
Mm-hmm. Well, I managed a gym and I just realized that I don't want to do the day-to-day, the operations. Now that's not to say that there's work in the online business that I don't, that's not to say that I love every aspect of online business. And sure, no matter what, there's going to be tasks that you don't necessarily love to do, but need to do. Like for me, accounting, ooh, who wants to do that? I know some people do love it and that's great. Thank God for them because I just can delegate, but that's, you know, a task that needs to be done that I don't love doing. But I just found that there were a lot of operation things that in a brick and mortar that I just don't want to, I don't want to manage that. I would rather manage the online portions.
Yeah. The creative space.
The creative space. Yeah.
You know. Yeah. So you guys, I hope this was helpful to mm-hmm. y'all. We would love to take any questions that you have and go deeper with you. Even if you're like, hey, we love these business episodes. Could you do a specific one on this one topic? Beverly and I can talk business
all day long.
Literally before we were recording this, talking about business. I was like, you can email us at actionmademamas@gmail.com. actionmademamas@gmail.com. Give us your feedback. Tell us if there's some topic you really want to hear about. And we'll record it for you.
Yes, we love that. And also, it'd be a huge service to us if you would go ahead and rate the episode and leave us a review and let us know what you think. If you're listening to it right now, screenshot it and tag us in your Instagram.
Yeah, tag us in your Instagram. Also, tell your friends, even if you're like, oh, I don't do online business, link. Next, tell your friend if you have a friend who does it. No, tell about it. Send her, just share it. Share button on iTunes.
Sharing is caring.
Caring for me. Yeah. Also, Action Made Mamas Podcast. It's Action Made Mamas Podcast at Gmail.
Great.
Action Made Mamas Podcast at Gmail. And let us know. We love to hear from y'all.
And we'll link it up in the show notes.
Yeah, totally. You guys love.
Okay. Bye, Mama. We'll see you next week.
Bye.